Chris hits me up last week and says, "Hey, by the way, you want to preach on Sunday? I'm going to be out of town." It's like, really? Okay. So I wasn't as hesitant as what I have been in the past. So that's good, I think. I hope. Yeah. Between you and Sonny. So, this has always been a challenge for me because I've never positioned myself or seen myself in front of people talking. So, anyway, enough said about that. So, prayerfully, everything will go well. So, God's been kind of working on me a little bit to go back to my roots, go back to the roots of why we're here, why this is all happening for us, why God has this plan. If you guys know me, I like to ask why a lot, especially when it comes to the Bible. Ask the youth. I like to challenge them with a lot of questions on why. So with this new opportunity to go to New Orleans and do street ministry, I've never really done that before. People say that I'm a people person, but I've never felt like I was a people person. So, but I like to talk and get to know people. So this is another opportunity to do that. During this challenge, God has kind of hit me up, and I shared a little bit with this with the youth on Wednesday, kind of about relationships and kind of God's original plan for us and things like that. So figure what better place to start than God's original plan. So this whole crazy idea that God had for us to be here. When I say I like to ask why and start way back when. So God had this crazy plan that, you know what, I kind of want to have fellowship with somebody else. So I'm going to make this thing called man, and I'm going to make him in my image. But when I think of something that is made in an image of something else, that's usually a very, very close resemblance, a very close personal thing for the creator, for the artist, for whoever's doing the creating. It usually means a lot to them. So creating human or man and woman, got to be politically correct these days. Just kidding. I think God's whole intention was to have this relationship with us. He wanted to walk with us, talk with us, be with us. And that's what, for the most part, that's what happened with Adam in the beginning and Eve until we were presented with this other opportunity. This other opportunity to say, hey, you got just as much power as God, so let's go ahead and go that route. Now, man was dumb enough to go ahead and try that. Let's see if we can be equal to our Creator. And, we know how that has worked out for us. Obviously, there's repercussions. Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden, and there was a lot of things on down the line through the Israelites and things like that that have happened. A lot of stupidity on man's part that God has been correcting and saving us from throughout generation after generation. But all while this was happening, God already knew a solution. He knew that when we made that choice to follow our own desires, he said, all right, I've got a plan to rectify this. I've got a plan to go ahead and make this back to the way it was so that I can be with my people, so that I can walk with them and talk with them and have that relationship with them that I originally intended, which in my mind is kind of baffling just because he created us, knew we were going to be stupid, and then saved us again, which is cool. Makes for a great story. So during this plan and during this process that God had planned, there's something that's very near and dear to us that has to happen for a relationship or a covenant or something of that magnitude that had to happen. And that's a sacrifice. So God already made the choice. Jesus made the choice to go ahead and come to earth and be that sacrifice for us. So in the few 33 years that he was on this planet, there was a lot more than just this sacrifice that he had in mind, though. He had in mind to go ahead and set straight the image that man had of this relationship. Again, this is my interpretation, so bear with me. If you don't agree with it, go back and study it. That's all. I'm going to leave it at that. So God had in mind this whole relationship, and while Jesus was here on earth, he was going to go ahead and be an example for us. And I think he started that out pretty quickly. I say quickly. If we go back to the original, one of the staple verses that most Christians know when they're saved, it's John 3:16-17. And if I can get there, I'll read it. So he said, because, you know, I'm going to stumble and mess up if I try and recite it in my head. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. So that goes back into, I got a little bit ahead of myself. That goes back into this whole salvation thing. This is that plan that Jesus had, that Christ had, that God had, the Holy Spirit had, for that rectification, that sanctification, that righteousness that he supplied for us. That's how much he loved us. So what God did after that in the book of John, I don't remember if I gave you this one, Logan, or not, but it's actually in the first chapter of John. This is where I'm winging it a little bit, so bear with me again. God started off by making relationships with his disciples. John the Baptist identified who Christ was, and he was sharing, he was preparing the way for God to come on this planet. And John the Baptist was challenged with that. But he kept saying, there's one greater that's coming after me. I'm not the Christ, is what John said. He said, it's not me. So this one that is greater is coming. So after all this happened, there's these two guys called Philip and Nathaniel. In verse 43 of the first chapter of John, they decided to follow Christ. He found Philip and said to him, follow me. Verse 44, now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we found him, of whom Moses in the law and of the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, come and see. Come find out for yourself. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said to him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit. Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? Jesus answered him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. And that's when Nathanael was in awe of just that moment. He said, how in the world? All right, you truly are the God. You are the King of Israel, was his response. Throughout the next 10 to 15 people that God came across, I mean, he had 12 disciples, but he'd capture their heart in a way that most of us have lost through this relationship. In some cases, it may be a miracle. In some cases, it may be just say, hey, you need to make the choice. You know I was coming. Here I am. Now follow me. And once they made that choice, or we make that choice to follow Christ, that's when we have the opportunity to build that relationship. That's when we get to sit down with Jesus, with our Bible, with the Holy Spirit, and we get to build that relationship. Just like Peter did just like Nathaniel did, just like all these people that got to actually physically sit in front of Jesus and talk with Jesus. I still think about that and try to figure out what it would be like to actually sit in his presence and wonder what kind of love was radiating off of him. What kind of love was radiating off of him when he was throwing people out of the temple? If you can imagine that, when he's flipping tables. It's kind of weird to think that he was still doing that out of a mindset and a heart of love. Sometimes the things we have to do are hard, but there's still that unending love behind it. So through Jesus, he was able to do so much during the short time he was on earth. These relationships he established were, in my opinion, examples for us to learn from and follow from. So what I want to try to challenge you guys with today is this whole thing of building relationships with other people. So God didn't only want to have a relationship with us that's in this room, or with just the called, just the Israelites. He wanted to have relationships with his creation. That's everybody. That's every human being that's walking on this planet. So how do you think he's going to do that? Yes, he can do an audible voice to every human being in this planet and convince them to follow them just from the sheer miracle aspect of things. How often does he do that? How often does he have that bam, it's undeniable. I am God. I am your Father. I am your Creator. You need to follow me. And by the way, I love you so much that my son died for you. My only son, who came and lived a perfect life, who had no reason to die for you. I believe he uses us to reach other people. So how can he have a relationship with other people? Through us. Through us being obedient. All we have to do is be willing. Well, that's not all we have to do. That's the first thing we've got to do. We've got to be willing. If we're willing, and we have that desire to be used by God, then he will use us. In Matthew 28, 18 through 20, a lot of us know what this is as well. This is what's considered the Great Commission. Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." I'm fairly certain just about everybody in this room has heard these verses before, has heard this concept of this Great Commission. And it's something I kind of just, all right, I know. Whenever somebody asks me questions, I need to be able to share with them Jesus. I need to be able to share with them John 3:16. I need to be able to say, hey, by the way, did you know that God loves you this much? But me, being that shy, quiet kind of guy, that's a little hard for me. I don't really like to get out there and do the street ministry, the New Orleans stuff. But it's needed. There's times when it's needed like that. Where you've just got to shock people and you just need to get their attention. I'm going to go with something controversial as an example, controversial in some cases, like disciplining your children. Sometimes you just got to swat their butts to get their attention so that you can teach them and correct them. Don't spare the rod. But, again, you know, it's almost outlawed in today's society. But not in Scripture. So anyways, I'm not going to go any more on that. So it's kind of like that. You've got to have that shock and awe with people, especially when they're just going down a very dark road, and you just got to, hey, wake up, stop. Don't do what you're doing. I don't mean walk out there and beat them to get your attention either. But I believe that most of the time, God's going to use us in a different manner. He's going to use us every day in our day-to-day walk. He's going to use us around our coworkers. He's going to use us around our schoolmates. He's going to use us around our church family to be an example, to have those relationships. And it comes back to that relationship thing again. Everywhere we go, we need to be conscious of the fact that God desires relationships with us. Not with just with me, but with Sonny, with Christy, with Brian, with everybody in here, with everybody we come in contact with. So if we're building relationships, does it always have to be us preaching to somebody else? Absolutely not. I can guarantee you most of the time that's going to push people away, especially in today's society in the United States. People have so many walls built up about Christianity being tied to hypocrisy. And that's not the case. We know that's not the case. True Christianity is not about hypocrisy. It's about following God's word, being an example. So how do we do that? We live God's word. We're a living example for Christ. Because as soon as you start building those relationships with your coworkers, with your schoolmates, they're going to be curious. Why are you happy? How did you make it through that struggle? How did you make it through such and such dying? How did you survive through that? They're going to want to know how to get through this stuff. And we have the answer right here. It's through that relationship with Christ. But how are they going to know about it? We've got to tell them. We've got to be ready and available. Which brings me to my next scripture, which is, what did I say, Logan? 1 Peter, chapter 3, verse 15. I'm with you. I got it. So 1 Peter, chapter 3, verse 15. I'm slow. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. I don't know how many people have ever read that, but just think about that for a minute. Isn't that all about relationships right there? How are you going to be able to share what you don't know yourself? If you don't have a relationship with God, how can you build relationships with other people so God can build their relationship with them? Wow, it's a big old circle. It's crazy. But it's cool when you think about it. Creator of all the universe wants to use us to reach His creation. The creator of all the universe wants to use His creation to reach His creation. Mind blown. It's neat. So how do you build these relationships? I know you've got to talk and share and stuff like that. But there's a few things that always stand out to me to have a good relationship with people. There's three things specifically that comes to mind when I think of a good relationship. A good marriage. Or a good friendship that's lasting. First thing is communication. If you don't know how to talk to somebody, how in the world are you going to build a relationship with somebody? You know? Christy, I have no idea how to talk to you. I'm sorry. I'm kidding. I kid. Communication is key with any relationship. If you can't talk to each other through controversy, through struggles, through peace, then how can you have a relationship? Love is the second thing. If you don't have love, then what in the heck is the point to the relationship? You know what I mean? Oh, there, it came out. I said it. I usually say that once. And then the third thing is compromise. I'm not always going to be right. The other person's not always going to be right. It's a give and take thing. We're all going to mess up. We've got to learn how to forgive each other, move on, and compromise with each other to make it work out. Again, that usually happens through communication as well. These things all go hand in hand into this whole thing called relationships. So, I guess to sum all this up, it really comes down to one question. Am I at a point in my life to where I can build a relationship with somebody else? Am I afraid to? Like in my case, am I afraid to walk up to somebody and say, hey, how you doing? Welcome. Welcome to church. Or, hey, what are your hobbies? What do you like to do on the weekends when you're not at work? It's putting yourself down and putting Christ in your place. Letting Him be the Lord of your life, to lead you and guide you, to sit up in front of a group of people and hopefully not make a fool of yourself. To trust, be willing. That's kind of what it takes to build a relationship. You got to trust other people. I hope. So, are we going to live our life as an example for Christ? Are we going to go and build our relationship with Christ so that we can do that? I'm going to try. I'm not going to be perfect, but God's going to help me. And that's really what it boils down to. I don't have anything else. I'll leave it at that so I don't keep repeating myself over and over again. My wife will get on me about that. So, there's my challenge for you. Build your relationship with Christ so you can build His relationships with other people. As crazy as that sounds. That work? Challenge me on it. I like it when people challenge me on it. So, but we'll wrap it up with that. Guess I'll pray. And we'll sing. We'll get going. Cool.